I think roller derby is a hopeful thing.
He earned enough money from selling plants that he paid off the mortgage on his house.
People always want to know, is that a lie or is that the truth?
I completely disassembled this Triumph TR6.
I wished I could have been a professional woman soccer player.
I'm Martha Woodruff, and this is The Spark, an exploration of interesting people doing interesting things. The Fairfax Symphony Orchestra returns to the Shenandoah Valley Music Festival this summer with two new programs created by conductor Luke Frazier, who, despite years of rigorous classical training, delights in popular music.
So I can remember as a kid in my very first piano books, there were little popular songs arranged for beginning piano, like Over the Rainbow. Uh-huh. And of course, as a kid growing up, and I think a lot of people of my generation grew up watching The Wizard of Oz over and over and over again. And I can remember specifically wanting to just get to that song in my piano book, because it was a song I could play and everybody would know. And again, it really, from a young age, it's that, I want to use the music to connect with people. And, as a kid as well growing up, I listened to music, especially older music, music of the 20s, 30s, and 40s, with my grandparents. And then my parents were really interested in the music of the 60s, 70s, and 80s. So, there's a whole swath of 20th century music that I grew up listening to. It was the soundtrack of my childhood, really.
One of the two new programs Luke Frazier has created and will premiere at Orkney Springs explores the Civil War through period music, journal entries, speeches, and historical accounts. The second, I'll Be Seeing You, traces a love story through World War II and is based on real letters exchanged by Luke Frazier's grandparents.
Tell me about those grandparents that I'll Be Seeing You is, based on. Go back to being a child again and tell me about these people.
These are my father's parents, mm-hmm. and we spent a lot of time together. We grew up all in the same town. So when that happens, you're by nature. And the other interesting thing...
What town is this?
This is Parkersburg, West Virginia.
Okay.
Yep, I'm a West Virginian. And the music of those two, as you can imagine, they were married for well over 50 years. So, and my grandfather passed away a few years ago, and my grandmother is still alive, although she just had to go into assisted living.
Uh-huh.
But this music, she loved to dance. They both loved to dance. And the music of the 40s, that was always what they were listening to. So, that's where I first heard Glenn Miller and Benny Goodman and Duke Ellington. And again, it was played as music that, of course, everybody's listening to this music. It was foreign that someone wouldn't be listening to that music. But my grandfather's memories of World War II were always of interest to me, too. So I was always asking about what he did and where he went. And they were in New York for VJ Day when Japan surrendered. They married mid-war. My grandmother drove cross-country during World War II to actually see him on the West Coast.
Do you remember where your grandfather said that he served?
He served in the Pacific.
Wow.
Yeah, he served in a submarine. The Sturgeon was the name of his ship.
Okay.
And he actually, interestingly enough, which is something we have in common, he was the cook on the ship, which is cooking is one of my biggest hobbies outside of music. So that's what he did the entire war.
And what do you remember about your grandparents as a couple?
Very close, very loving. What's interesting about them is they both came from very humble beginnings and really built a life together that was forged in the trials of World War II. I mean, they came of age in this extremely tumultuous time and long-distance relationship and uncertainty of being able to have children, which I include that in the show because I think it's an important factor about mm-hmm. them. But they had a lot of obstacles to overcome, and they overcame them, and they built a beautiful life together.
Can you describe them to me?
Yes, of course. My grandmother is a ham, a total ham. Always has been.
Do you take after her?
I think so, definitely. When I was in elementary school, she was a part of a dance group, and she would go dance. She had a flapper costume that she danced in. And she would dance to music of the 20s, 30s, 40s in these costumes at these shows all over town. I mean, that was her big entertainment.
Were you proud of her, or was it a little much?
Oh, you know, when I was younger, of course, I was in awe because this woman is performing, and that's, even at a young age, I knew that's what I wanted to do. So it was kind of special, you know, that someone is doing this. And my grandfather was much more quiet, much more reserved, but, you know, loved to have a good time, loved to have people around. They had a river house in Parkersburg because, of course, Parkersburg is at the confluence of two rivers.
Mm-hmm.
So they had a river house and loved to grill and have people out and tell stories. And he loved to make jokes, always loved to make jokes. So that was something, again, a kind of entertainer in his own way as well.
I want them to be my grandparents.
Yes.
They sound wonderful. Tell me about these letters, because you based your work on a series of letters. Am I right?
Exactly. So it's a bit of a bittersweet story. So when my grandmother was getting moved into assisted living, and we had to clean out a lot of the house, they found all of these letters that were written during the war back and forth to each other. And so I've been in the mode of creating. I have about 15 different programs that I've created. And I really wanted to do a show about the 1940s, but I really, you know, Martha, I'm one of these people that I want to create more than just a spectacle. I want it to be some sort of emotional tie-in for my audience. And so, you know, I just couldn't bear to do a review of 1940 songs. It's been done. It's over and over and over again, and I don't have any interest in that. So when I found these letters, it's kind of like the light bulb went off. It was a way to connect all those dots and, you know, pay tribute to them, as well as creating something for audiences that I think a lot of people have this story, whether it be World War II veterans or any conflict veterans. You know, people know. They have that life experience of separation and anxiety about getting a first house and anxiety about having children. This is a common theme, but it's all the more personal for me, being that it's all true. And I will tell you that I would say 85% of the script is really verbatim just from the letters. There was enough in the letters that really could tie together, and the rest is just a little bit of supplemental material to tie it together. But what you're going to hear when you go to the show is really, you're hearing their voices in the 40s.
How does this work? You work up the shows, and then what?
They are marketed to orchestras around the country, and presenters around the country. Basically, I design programs that are true to me and that I also think will have a real audience connection and reaching people in a different way. If you look through the shows that I've created, there are no reviews. Even my show, the Rodgers and Hammerstein show that I designed and I did last year in Orkney Springs, is not just a Rodgers and Hammerstein review. I took five Rodgers and Hammerstein shows and I wrote a script to tie a love story between two characters through five different shows. Again, making a real, a deeper emotional tie-in than just pure entertainment.
Information about the Shenandoah Valley Music Festival premiere of Luke Frazier's show, I'll Be Seeing You, is on the Spark page at WMRA.org.
I'll be looking at the moon, but I'll be seeing you.